This is the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Kurt Kavarik. Kurt with Clean Fuels Alliance America 45Z on the way in a moment. First, Dave Chatterton with Strategic Farm Marketing on hogs.
I think the most impressive move here has been in the hogs. It's just, you kind of relate it back to these Energizer Bunny campaigns where the thing just keeps going and going and going. And we have, you know, another day, another round of new highs, at least for that, you know, the April and deferred contracts going forward. And, you know, fund buying and, you know, growing open interest really has continued to fuel those gains. We've seen open interest up, I think, 23% here just in the last, 3 weeks. And when I look at these fund positions, they just, you know, they're up, the net long is up over 50,000 contracts in the last 8 weeks. And, you know, we're back in range with those highs from the last half of 2025, and you know, pretty impressive run so far.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest today is Kurt Kavarik. Kurt is Vice President, Federal Affairs with Clean Fuels Alliance America in Washington, D.C. Hey, Kurt, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, glad to be with you, Tony.
All right, Clean Fuels Alliance America. For those who don't know, who are you? What do you do?
Yeah, sure. We're the National Trade Association representing America's biodiesel, renewable diesel, sustainable aviation fuel producers, as well as our feedstock providers, primarily soybean growers, state soybean associations, and marketers of the fuel. So really we represent, and our membership includes kind of soup to nuts in terms of feedstock to fuel to retailers.
You know, there's been a lot of pressure here in the bean market simply because of, well, exports. We look at export inspections, a report that came out this week, and we're above 50% of where we were last year at this time, but that's the problem. We're above 50% and really nowhere close to 100%, which kind of underscores the need to find ways to use more domestically. Is there a way that we can do that through Clean Fuels?
Absolutely. And in fact, when just prior to President Trump's visit to Iowa a week ago, Clean Fuels sent the president a letter and essentially highlighted the ability of the biomass-based diesel industry to deliver on his goals of domestic energy dominance, rural economic development, and value-added agriculture. And as you know, the domestic drive for renewable fuels is leading to kind of a renaissance throughout the Midwest in terms of investment in soy crush. We've seen about a $6 billion investment expanding the domestic soy crush by at least 25 to 30%, kind of unheard of in recent years. And that's primarily driven by the demand for soybean and canola oil for the biomass-based diesel industry. We're right now value of at least 10% of the bushel of soybeans. If you think about a soybean, the value of a soybean right now, 50% of that value in the soybean is the oil. Half of that oil goes into the food market. The other half goes into the biodiesel market. The food side of the demand equation has been pretty stagnant, maybe growing at a fraction. The biodiesel demand is growing exponentially. So the letter to the president that we sent was to highlight two policies that are fully within the authority of this administration that could go a long way to delivering that value-added agriculture, value-add for America's soybean farmers. The first is finalizing robust renewable volume obligations, way past due. We're nearing the finish line. We're hopeful that we'll have them by the end of March at the latest, finalizing them along the lines of what the EPA proposed, extraordinarily robust volumes, would be an enormous positive step for our industry. The second policy that we suggest to the president address is getting proposed guidance out for the 45Z clean fuel production credit. This is the tax credit that exists for all low-carbon fuels based on carbon intensity produced here in the United States. We're very pleased and very welcomed the proposed guidance that Treasury revealed today. It's about 180 pages long, so we're still in the process of going through it, but an enormous step forward in terms of providing certainty to our industry and clearing up a lot of areas where there was lack of clarity on how this tax incentive was going to work, how it was going to be claimed, calculating the value of the credit, all of those things. So two enormous items on the president's agenda. We're very pleased to see progress on the tax credit. We're hopeful that we'll soon see progress on the renewable volume obligations.
We're talking with Kurt Kovarik. Kurt is Vice President, Federal Affairs, Clean Fuels Alliance America. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest, Kurt Kovarik, Vice President, Federal Affairs with Clean Fuels Alliance America. All right. Normally when we're talking about renewable fuels, we're talking about EPA, but right now we're talking about the Treasury Department. Is that part of what has slowed this down?
Without a doubt. But the complexity of the law that Congress passed is part of it. The reliance upon using a carbon model to determine the carbon intensity of the fuel and the feedstock is a part of it. But keep in mind a little bit of history on this. So the biodiesel industry has benefited from a $1 per gallon blender's tax credit that was put in place in the mid-2000s all the way in through 2024. The Clean Fuel Production Credit was created in a law that passed in August of 2022. The Biden administration left office in January of 25 with very little guidance and implementation of it. In fact, what they did put out was more confusing to the marketplace than clarity. And then in July of last year, Congress passed the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which actually expanded, improved, and extended the Clean Fuel Production Credit. So the Trump administration had essentially been working since July of last year, once Congress passed that bill with those changes, to put forward this implementing policy and guidance. So that's what we have that came out today. So I don't necessarily fault the Trump administration for the timing. We were behind the curve even before the Trump administration came into office. Then you had Congress sort of rewrite the bill midway, and the policy itself is not uncomplicated. So unfortunately, throughout this entire time, though, our industry has really been in the lurch to some extent. Lack of clarity meant lack of certainty. That compounded with low RVOs meant that our industry in 2025 was operating well below our capacity. It was really a tough year. A lot of plants idled, many operating at reduced capacity. This is one step forward that I hope. Again, we're just starting now to kind of dig into it. So we're obviously going to be looking to our members for clarity and concerns that they may have. But I'm hopeful that this is a big step forward in terms of answering a lot of questions, providing some certainty to help the marketplace, rejuvenate to some extent, add value to that soybean or that canola, get the fuel produced and get it to the marketplace, creating jobs, creating domestic energy dominance, creating rural economic development.
Okay. As I look at this, those 180 some odd pages in there are available on the Federal Register or in the Federal Register. So let's talk the timing of this. I guess officially published Wednesday, is that right?
That's our expectation, is it will be published Wednesday. That will start the clock, really. They've indicated a 60-day comment period. So stakeholders, taxpayers will have an opportunity to try to digest this, submit comments to the agency for their consideration. Then they will digest those comments, have a public hearing, respond to those comments as much as possible, and then publish a final rule probably sometime this summer. While, this tax credit took effect in January 1 of 2025, so getting final guidance in the summer of 2026 is certainly far from ideal. there's a lot of language in this proposal that essentially acts as a safe harbor or to some degree a reliance clause so that taxpayers can reasonably rely upon this, operate their businesses based on this. So that's what I mean. Even though it's not final, in my view, I'm hopeful that it goes a long way to providing enough certainty and clarity to producers and taxpayers that they can act on it.
Talking with Kurt Kavarik, Clean Fuels Alliance America, it's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Special guest today, Kurt Kavarik. Kurt is with Clean Fuels Alliance America. And we're talking about new 45Z rules going into the Federal Register. What about the imported used cooking oil? What happens there?
Yeah. So a couple key components of that. As Congress recrafted the law, they base it on a production credit rather than a blending credit, which means the fuel has to be produced in the United States to be eligible. In this proposed guidance, there's a lot of time spent to what produced means to ensure that we don't have, some players who are up to no good who basically will import some fuel, make a slight modification to it in the United States, and argue that it was produced here. That's obviously important both to safeguard the domestic industry, but make sure that we're not seeing fraud or abuse of this tax credit. The second thing that Congress did in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act of July of 2025 was restrict the feedstocks that would be eligible to those that are produced in the United States, Canada, or Mexico. So this regulation, this proposed guidance, does not upend that in any way, simply reiterates what Congress dictated in the statute and that they're guidance, further reiterates that point that it must be produced in the United States with feedstocks produced or grown in Canada, the United States, or Mexico.
One more here, and I hope I'm reading this right. Removal of indirect land use change penalties. I know you kind of touched on the carbon scoring there. Has that been removed?
No. The inclusion over the counting of ILUC, the indirect land use penalty, has been removed. And that was at the direction of Congress in the same bill of July of 2025, which we strongly supported, advocated for, and commended Congress for doing. When we calculate the carbon intensity of fuels and feedstocks, there is this murky, I use air quotes around science of indirect land use. It's the scientific theory that because we're using crops in the United States for both food and fuel, that there must be some knock-on effect in Brazil or some other country as a result. We've got more than 25 years of evidence with a strong ethanol and biodiesel industry in the United States that indirect land use is essentially a fiction. It's a tool, in my mind, in my view, used by some extreme environmentalists to try to disadvantage crop-based biofuels. Congress had the foresight to say, wait a minute, if we're going to provide a credit that's based on carbon intensity, we shouldn't be including these theoretical theories. We should be basing this on fact. So Congress directed Treasury to exclude any indirect land use change penalty in that carbon intensity score. A huge win for biodiesel, a great, great positive outcome for domestic soybean, canola, and all crop-based feedstocks that go into biofuels.
Kurt Kavarik is Vice President, Federal Affairs, Clean Fuels Alliance America, And this is the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. National Ag Statistics Service has sheep and lamb inventories. Here's Travis Averill.
Sheep and lambs are top five states. Texas and Colorado are up from 2025, whereas the other three states are down in inventory from previous year. For the 32 published states, 10 states are increasing from previous year. 20 states are decreasing from 2025. Two states are unchanged from last year. So for the January 1, breeding sheep and lambs are at 3,610,000 head, down 1.4% from last year. The replacement lambs are at 600,000 head, down 2.4% from 2025. Ewes are at 2,850,000 head, down 1% from last year. The rams are at 160,000, down 3%. The 2025 lamb crop was at 3,030,000 head, down 0.3% from previous year.
It's the Agribusiness Report.